This evening, the Lord's burdened our heart in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter number 14. I'm not going to be preaching anything new. I'm not going to be preaching any new thought or anything like that. I'm going to preach a very familiar piece of scripture, one that we've all heard preached before. But I believe the Lord will help us through it. And verse number 22, chapter 14. Verse number 22, and when you find your place, if you will, please stand. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out of fear, or for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked out on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. That is the reading of Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. I believe the Lord will have us look at the thought of doubt in the midst of the storm. Doubt in the midst of the storm. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for this opportunity, God, to break open the bread of life here this evening. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you've been doing here in this church, in this community. And God, we ask that you give us a fresh anointing tonight. And God, that you will speak to us from heaven above. God, would you bind our flesh, bind the strong man. God, help us to do nothing of man, but God, do that what the Spirit says. And God, only speak what you tell us to speak. And God, I pray that you'll have your will and way throughout the service. If there be one here that's lost, one that's struggling, one that's in need of help, God, would you touch them? Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So here I'm going to just go ahead and jump right into it. There's going to be a few verses here, and all of them are going to be a D and a S. So firstly, I see that there's a disastrous storm. Look with me at verse number 22. It says, And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before and to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to part to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Here in verse number 22, it tells us that Jesus told the disciples that they needed to go over unto the other side without him, unto the Sea of Galilee, unto the other side of the sea. Obeying Jesus, we see that they get into this ship and they begin to sail out into the sea without him and are now making their way to the other side. And while they are in the midst of the sea, here comes a storm out of nowhere. I think about these disciples and what they had just witnessed. They had just seen Jesus feed 5,000 men, not including the women and the children, likely around 20,000 people with 5 fishes and 2 loaves. I think about how they were likely encouraged. They were excited. They were anxious to see what God was going to do once they got into the other ship. And so being excited about going to the other side, here they do what God's told them to do and they get into the ship and they're starting to sail out to get onto the other side, and out of nowhere, here comes a storm. It's amazing to me how in our life it seems when everything's going right, when we have, it seems like everything is perfectly planned and it seems like everything's okay, out of nowhere we find ourselves in the midst of a storm. And I believe there are people here today. There are people here that are just like the disciples. God's been doing a mighty work in your life and you found yourself here in the midst of a storm. And you might be saying, well, I'm not in the midst of a storm yet. But there, we know that there's a saying that you either just got out of a storm, you're going through one right now, or you're getting ready to go through one. There's no doubt there's going to be a time when we go through a storm if you're not going through one right now. But I want us to look at how the Gospels describe this storm that the disciples were going through. In Matthew 14 and 24, the Bible says that this storm, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I began to look up some of these words that are described as storm. Hear that word contrary. I looked it up in the Greek, and the first definition given means over, against, or opposite. So sake of illustration, let's say that they were sailing east across the sea. The wind was blowing west. So it was blowing against them and opposing them. It also means opposed as an adversary, hostile, or antagonistic in feeling or act, or an opponent. I found that interesting, hostile or an opponent. Here they were doing what Jesus had told them to do. They were obeying His commandment. They were just trying to get to the overside. But here we see that there was a wind, there's an opposition that is coming against them, trying to keep them from doing what the Lord has told them to do and to keep them from reaching the other side. You are here tonight and you're doing what the Lord has told you to do. You're praying like you ought to. You're reading like you ought to. You've been in church like you ought to. But some reason, you're trying to get through this storm of life, maybe that you're in, and as you're trying to get to the other side, there is something that is coming against you. There's opposition that is coming against you. It's doing everything it can to keep you from getting to the other side. We think about Satan, the world, and our flesh. They try their best to keep us from getting to the other side. They will throw any hostile acts they can at you to keep you from getting to the other side. And they'll throw anything and everything. Why? Because when you get to the other side, you'll see what a mighty work God has done for you when you get there. Look at verses number 34 through 36. It says, when they were gone over, they came into the land of the Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out all into the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as they touched, they were made perfectly whole. So here we see when they got to the other side, we see that the Lord did another mighty work. So of course the wind or the opposition was trying to come against them to try to keep them from getting to that other side. Because when you get to that other side, you can look back and say, wow, look what God has brought us through. And look at what the Lord is doing. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 48. Let's look there here while we're close. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 48. It has another way of describing this storm that was taking place. Now in verse 47 it says, when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And so here we see toiling and rowing. When we look up that word toiling, that means to torture, to vex, grievous pain of body or mind, to torment, to be harassed or distressed. Rowing, that means to drive or of sailors propelling a vessel, but it also means of demons driving to some place the men whom they possess. What it means, though, is that they were rowing and they were not going anywhere. I think about how they were probably looking out and they were seeing the storm that was taking place. They were seeing the winds that was coming against them. They were seeing the waves. And they began to row and they began to row harder and harder. And as they were rowing harder, the more they weren't going nowhere. I think about how maybe some of them were rowing against each other. And as they were trying to get out of the storm and to the other side, here they were. They were going around in circles, possibly. They weren't going nowhere. They were rowing so hard that they began to experience grievous pain. They were distressed by the storm. Here they were. They were experienced fishermen, every one of them. And here I begin to believe that as they look out and notice they weren't going anywhere, how the waves were crashing around them, how the wind was blowing in the opposite direction, they began to doubt if they were actually going to make it to the other side or not. I believe they began to have doubt in their mind. And tonight, I feel like there's somebody here. You're in the midst of the storm. You're doing what God's told you to do. You're rowing just as hard as you can. And for some reason, it seems like the harder you row, the harder you're trying to get to the other side. It seems like the worse the opposition is coming against you, and you're in grievous pain. And you are starting to doubt if you're ever going to get out of this situation you're in. You're beginning to doubt if you're going to make it to the other side. This storm has caused you grievous pain. This storm has caused you to be stressed and has caused you to doubt that you are ever going to get out of this storm. It's a disastrous storm. But secondly, I see the distance traveled by the Savior. Look at me with me in verse number 25. It says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out of fear." So here in the middle of their storm, it says that Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. As I began to read and study about this, I began to think about how far would that be? How far did Jesus actually walk on the water to get to them in the middle of their storm? John chapter number 6 and verse number 19, it says, "And when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea. That distance is equal to 4 miles. Now to me and you, that might not seem like too far of a distance for Jesus to have to walk. But understand, they are in the middle of a disastrous storm. They're going nowhere. And this is also in the fourth watch of the night. That's 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's some of the darkest hours of the night. It's not like we have it today where they have big lighthouses that are shining lights around about. And they have lights all around the seacoast. You got to think, this was pitch black dark. And there was wind coming against them. And there were storms coming against them. And there was waves crashing around them. I believe they began to lose doubt. And they began to think and looking around and saying, "Well, I know that nobody even knows where we're at right now. You know, Jesus is the only one, and he's went up into the mountain to pray, and here we are, we're all alone. Nobody knows what we're going through. Here we are in this storm, and we don't know that we're going to make it to the other side." Can I tell you, I've been there in my life. I've been in that storm where I felt like nobody knew what I was going through. Nobody else has ever faced the pain that I've felt. Nobody's ever been going through the storm that I've been going through. I believe that that's what they were going through. I believe today there might be somebody here, you might be thinking that same thing. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows what I've been having to deal with. But look at Mark chapter number 6 and verse 48. It says, "And when he saw them toiling and rowing." You see, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the night, in the middle of darkness, in the middle of all this wind and all this stuff that is going on, Jesus saw them where they were. And he knew exactly what they were going through. Tonight, when nobody else knows what we're going through, when we can't talk to nobody about anything, Jesus knows exactly what we're going through. Jesus knows exactly where we are. If we're 4 miles out in the middle of a storm, if we're 4 miles out in the middle of a tornado, whatever it might be, we know that Jesus knows where we are. I think about how Pastor Darren, his testimony, how he said that he was convicted at church. And he went and he said, "I got to get out of here. I got to get to the altar and get saved." And how his knees buckled where he was and in the first row. And his father came down and said, "Son, what's wrong?" He said, "I didn't make it." And he said, "Well, son, that's all right. Jesus came to where you are." Hey, Jesus came to where he was. I remember on a Wednesday night when I was lost, I skipped out on church. I didn't go. I didn't want to be there. And the Lord was convicting my soul about getting saved. And I went home and I went to my grandparents' house. But he found me where I was in the middle of that storm of doubt and that storm of sin. And he came exactly where I was and found me. And he saved me right there. Honey, it don't matter how far out in the storm you are. It don't matter how far out in sin you are. God will come to where you are. Jesus will come to where you are. He knows exactly where you're at. And there's no storm too big, no storm too mighty to stop him from getting to you. He'll walk to you on the water. He'll walk through anything to get to where you are. And he knows where you're at tonight. Don't you let the enemy, don't you let the adversary, don't you let the devil tell you nobody knows what you're going through. Honey, Jesus knows exactly where you're at and what you're going through. And he'll come to you where you are. He'll come to you in the altar, in the front row, back at your church, back at the house. It doesn't matter. He'll come to you where you are. Thirdly, I see that there's a direct statement that he gives. Look with me at verse number 27. "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He was now walked on the water to them. And with it being dark and cloudy and the winds all around him, the waves crashing all around, then wind roaring, they see him coming and they got afraid. They thought it was a spirit that was coming unto him, and they began to become fearful. And he said, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." It was a personal statement to the disciples. Jesus talked directly to them. I'm glad today that not only today, but in any day, he sees our storm where we are, but he will come to where we are, but also he'll speak to us and bring us words of comfort no matter what we're going through. It was personal to his disciples. They were afraid. They were afraid that Jesus was just a spirit. They were distressed and they were afraid in the storm. And I think about how most of the disciples, they were used to the storms in the Sea of Galilee, but it had to be bad enough that when Jesus saw them, he said, "You know what? I got to go get them. I got to go help them. I got to go rescue them." I think about how these fishermen, because they were fishermen, more than likely their pride probably got the best of them. And even though they were scared to death and they weren't going anywhere and they were tolling and they were in grievous pain, I don't think any of them said, hey, I don't know if we're ever going to make it out of here. Because I think they wanted it, they were too prideful. You know, I'm a fisherman. I know that I've been through storms bigger than this. I can get to the other side. But here we see that I believe Jesus knew their thoughts and Jesus knew that they were afraid on the inside. Hey, I'm grateful that when we're too afraid to tell somebody else what we're going through, when we're too scared and when we can't get words out, when we can't even speak it, Jesus knows what we're going through. And He knows when we're fearful. And He knows when we have doubt in our life. And He'll give us words of comfort. He said, be of good cheer, be not afraid. That be not afraid and fear not are used frequently in the Bible to bring us words of comfort. We know how fear not is used 365 times in the Bible. That's a year's worth of fear not to help comfort us each and every day. No matter what storm we're going through, no matter what situation we're going through, we can have comfort and be of good cheer and be not fearful because God is going to be with us. He said, be of good cheer. In the middle of the storm, in the middle of the being scared and frightened, not knowing anything, not knowing if they're going to get to the other side, having that doubt in their life, doubting that storm, He said, be of good cheer. I think about how hard that is sometimes, to be of good cheer when we're in the middle of a storm. I think about how I've been brokenhearted, I've been tired, I've been sad, I've got all these things going on. How am I supposed to be happy and cheerful in the midst of my storm? But I believe John's account tells us that they had forgot what Jesus had done about feeding the 5,000, for their hearts were hardened. I think about if they would just thought about what Jesus had just done for them and just done in front of them, they would have been able to have good comfort. They would have been able to not have doubt. They would have been able to have comfort in knowing that, look, Jesus just did a miracle right in front of us. Though we're in the middle of this storm, though we're in the middle of this big trial or whatever it is that we're going through, we can look back and see what Jesus has already done for us. And that should be able to help comfort us. And that should be able to help get us through those times when we have doubt and those times we don't know that we've gone through. Hasn't He done a lot for you this evening? Hasn't He brought you through many storms in your life? Maybe he just saved you. That should be enough to know that if He saved you, He can do anything. He's come to where you are and He spoke to you. And when we think about all that He's done, that should help us to be of good cheer. I thank God tonight that He makes direct statements to each and every one of us. Fourthly, I see the doubt by Simon. Look at verse number 28. It says, and Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. I think about how Peter, he's seen Jesus. And he did what all of us probably want to do when we see Jesus doing a miracle. We want to get to where Jesus is at and we want to be right near Him. He began to look out and say, you know what? I want to walk on the water. I want to be like Jesus. That's something we should all strive for, is to be like Jesus. So he goes out and he begins to take steps on the water. And I believe the whole time his eyes are on Jesus because he's just trying to get to where Jesus is at. But then I believe that he began to look around. He began to hear the waves crashing around him. I believe he heard the wind that was probably whistling by his ear. And I believe he took his eyes off of Jesus, and I believe he got distracted by the things that were going on around him. I think about how there's times in our life it's easy for us to get our eyes off of Jesus and to get distracted by all the things that are going on around us. You look at this world and how evil this world is. You turn on the news, you're going to get distracted. You might wake up, you might get in a devotion and be encouraged, and then you just turn on the news and you can be so distracted and that you forgot all the encouragement that the Lord just gave you. I think about there's bills, there's work, there's ball practices, there's doctor's bills, there's school, there's all kinds of sickness, appointments. Then we also have our mind and our flesh and stuff that we have to battle. Recently, I've been listening to a lot about our mind, and a lot of times our mind will try to play tricks on us and stuff, and it'll try to get us down and bring us down, and we have depression that we have to fight. There's many things going on in our life that if we're not careful, we'll begin to get distracted. And when we begin to get distracted, next thing you know, we find ourselves sinking. And then one thing leads to another, and then we get down and further down and further down and further down. And then we begin to doubt that we're even going to be able to get out of that situation that we're in. We get distracted looking around. I think about how many times we get distracted about things going on in this world. Why is so-and-so getting their prayers answered? Why is good things happening to this person? I'm like the disciples. I'm trying to live for God, and I'm trying to do what God's told me to do. But then all of a sudden, here I am. I'm going through this trial and this tribulation, but nobody else is. What's going on? And we began to get distracted, and we began to sink, and we began to think, you know, God will do it for somebody else, but He won't do it to me. Maybe God will do it later, but He won't do it for me. I'm there right now, and it's what's been going on in my life. I've had that doubt of if the Lord's going to answer. I think the Lord just would have walked on the water. You would have asked to come and take a step in His direction. Then doubt fills our mind, and we began to sink, just like Peter did here. You're in the middle of the storm, and you have doubt that Jesus is going to help you. But He'll help anyone else but you. I think about how Simon Peter, he saw the 5,000 men get fed with 5 fishes and 2 loaves. He saw Jesus walk 4 miles out into the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the sea where He was at, in the middle of a storm. He saw Jesus and heard Jesus say, "Be of good comfort and be of good cheer." But here he is. He's beginning to doubt and beginning to think, the storm around me is too big. I can't get to Jesus. I can't get to the other side. And he says, Jesus said, "O thou of little faith." It's better to have Peter had doubt. And sometimes it's good that we can only have a little bit of faith and God will answer our prayers. This evening, a little bit of faith was all it took for God to answer. It didn't just take a little bit of faith. I wouldn't be standing here today, because with a little bit of faith, I got saved. With a little bit of faith, I'm able to make it through each and every day. And lastly, I see there's definite salvation. Look with me in the last few verses here in verse number 30 and 31. It says, "And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt?' And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased." He said, "Lord, save me." He cried, "Lord, save me." Is that where you're at tonight, in the middle of your doubt? Are you crying out to the Lord? Are you begging the Lord to save you? It says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand into the water and pulled Peter out and got into the boat with the disciples. John 6 and 21 says, "When Jesus got into the boat, immediately they were on the other side." I think about how Peter cried out for help unto the Lord to save him from drowning during the storm. I think about how tonight there's some of us that are going through a storm. Some of us are having doubt in our life. Doubt about salvation. Doubt that we're going to make it to the other side. So much doubt. It's taking place in our life. But tonight, you might have that doubt in the midst of your storm, but I promise you, Jesus is not going to stand by and just watch you as you drown and go down into the water. He's not going to sit there and say, "You should have had a little bit more faith." But if you'll say, "Jesus, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, get me to the other side," I believe Jesus will help you. I think about how it's definite salvation. I think about John 6 and 37. It says, "Him that come through to me, I will in no wise cast him out. Lord, I need to be saved." I think about how Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You might be tired. That might just be the storm. You need some rest. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Lord, you just need the Lord to hear you right now. You feel like He ain't hearing what you're going through and that He ain't going to answer your prayers. John 11:41, "I knew that thou hearest me always." Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it shall be given you." Matthew 21 and 22, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask, in prayer believing ye shall receive." Lord, I'm so sad I can't even ask it. Isaiah 65 and 24, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Maybe it's you thirst and you are hungry this evening. John 6 and 35, "I am the bread of life. He that come through to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Maybe whatever need you have, Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." This evening I ask, what are you going through? What are you doubting this evening? What kind of storm are you going through? Whatever need you have, just understand that God is going to bring you through it, and the Lord knows exactly where you are. If you will, please stand. Seth, if you will, please come to the piano. I wonder tonight if anybody might want to come up here to the altar and just cry out to the Lord. And we see that these disciples, Peter, he said, "Lord, save me." And immediately he was saved. Tonight, all you got to do is humble yourself and say, "Lord, I can't do it on my own. The storm I'm going through, I can't make it onto the other side without your help. All eyes closed and all heads bowed. Maybe this evening it's you got doubt that you'll make it to the other side. And you want me to pray for you. If you have doubt that you're going to make it to the other side, if you just want me to pray for you, will you please slip up your hand? Whatever storm you're going through, would you? And you want the preacher to pray for you, would you slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm going through a storm right now, and I'm going through a situation." Amen. Lord sees those hands. Maybe tonight you have doubt about salvation. You've been going through this message. You've been going through this week listening to the preacher preach Wednesday night. You listen to Luke preach Friday. Maybe you listen to Luke preach this morning. And you say, "You know what? If I were to get in a car wreck today on the way home, I don't know if I would go to heaven or hell. I'm doubting my salvation." Would you slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? Preacher, would you pray for me? I don't know if I'm saved or if I'm lost, and I need you to pray for me. Preacher, pray for me." Anybody at all? Amen. I'm going to pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for these words that we've received tonight. God, there's some of us that have doubt in our life. God, we have doubt in the midst of this storm that we're going through. God, it's a disastrous storm. It's a mighty storm. It's a big storm. And God, I just don't know if I'm going to make it to the other side or not. And God, I need your help. And God, I feel like nobody knows where we're at. And I feel like I'm the only one that is going through this situation. But Lord, I'm thankful, God, tonight that you know exactly where I'm at. God, you know this storm that has taken place in my life. And Lord, I'm thankful, God, that you'll come to me where I'm at. And God, you'll speak to me. And God, you give us words of encouragement. You said to fear not. And Lord, that's easier said than done sometimes. Sometimes it's hard for us not to fear. Sometimes it's hard for us not to doubt. But God, just help me to have a little bit of faith. And God, help me, God, just to humble myself and call upon you. And Lord, would you help me, God, to get through this situation in my life? God, would you help me, God, just to get through the other side of this storm? And Lord, God, would you just help my unbelief? God, that I might be able to trust you fully. And God, that I might be able to reach the other side. And God, we know that when we reach the other side, we'll be able to look back. And God, be able to know, God, that you got us through it. And God, it wasn't by nothing that we did. It wasn't by nothing that a man did. But God, it's all because of you that we were able to reach that other side. And God, I pray that you be with these that are here and made their way out this evening. And God, that are sitting in this altar, God, I pray that you touch each and every one of them. Lord, I'm glad you know their needs. God, I'm glad you know that the situation that they're going through, though I might not. And God, I pray that you'll give them a testimony through it, God, on how to get to the other side. And God, I pray that you be with these hands, God. They say that they need help. And God, that they need prayers. And God, help us, God, just to pray for one another. And God, we love you. And God, we thank you, God, for all that you do. And God, never leaving us or forsaking us. And Lord, God, help us, God, just to pray for one another. And God, be with the services throughout this week at Fletcher. God, we thank you for the souls that have been saved. And God, we thank you for the help that we've received tonight. God, help us, God. Just help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.